12, that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him, and they went into a house.
You know, it's a wonder to me how even in today's society we know of very religious groups, and there's so many different colleges that are set up. Colleges that are set up, you know, so that maybe theologians and people, religious people, can go and receive the instructions of God's word. But then we see that for some reason, men, as we see in the Old Testament, men continually do evil against God. And men continually don't want to obey things of very small lessons. And it's a wonder why we continue to look at God's word. And I know every time that I look through God's word, it's not that I find something different. It's that I come to a better understanding on what God says. We need to know the mind of God. And how do we need to know the mind of God? There's only one book that I know of that we can read and understand and get his full knowledge. But even that, we see that God, that Jesus left a message to John in the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, we see that John receives this message, this letter. And in chapter 22, if we could turn there, chapter 22, verse 16. And we see it says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto thee these things for the churches, that I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. And the Spirit and the bride said, come. And he that heareth, let him say, come. And he that is athirst, let him come. And he that will, let him take the water of life freely. That I testify unto every man that heareth the words of this prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto them, God shall add unto him the plagues which are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city, which is written in this book. I believe that that's a very, very strong message. But even though that's a strong message, we also see that Paul makes a statement. And as he makes a statement about the gospel, we see that Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And he begins in this way, and I love how Paul really brings it out to the Corinthians here. He says in verse 1, he says, I have made known unto you, brethren, the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also that you have received, wherein also ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye hold fast the word which I preached unto you, except ye believe in vain. For I have delivered unto you, first of all, that which also I have received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he had been raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And as we continually read, we see that he says, and Cephas saw him, and all the other apostles saw him. And that seems very clear to me. But it seems very clear because here we are in the assembly and we are showing each other and also those in the world when we leave from here how that we need to participate in God's word according to what it says. But for some reason, we see that Jesus chose 12 apostles, 12 men. And those 12 men were to do God's will. And as we continue, as we look in the lessons, we're going to see that the word of God is true. And it is the pattern of life that we need to live and the pattern of life that we need to show them in the world. I was looking through online and also in the phone book, just seeing how many churches have apostles today. And I'm really appalled by that. And, you know, what's even worse than that is people who we work with, people who we see every day, know of people who claim to be apostles. I hope this works. Oh, the green one here. Okay, good. As I was going through the website, I saw this. And it says Solid Rock, Apocryphal and Prophecy Ministry. And, you know, I tend to wonder what that's all about. But then as we flick a little further, we see this. Apostle Dwayne Boddy was born in October the 6th, 1961, in Columbus, Georgia. And it tells that he joined the military and everything. But what's appalling to me is this. Apostle Dwayne Boddy. The question is he chosen by God? The question is, did Jesus choose him as an apostle? But as I continually look, he has a large following. As a matter of fact, we see that they have a real nice, beautiful church over here in Lancaster. And that tells you that the assembly that we have with the small people here, that place is full of people. Full. And I find that sad. Let me see if I can get this to the right area here. Here we go. The apostles were chosen by Jesus, the 12 apostles. And as it was read earlier, we see that Jesus chose these 12, as we see on the list. And I want to kind of hurriedly move around because this is something that we're all familiar with. We're all familiar with the 12. Peter, Philip, James, Thomas. Oops. There we go. The Christ in action, he chose his apostles, and he chose them that they would be ambassadors for Christ. He also showed them that the Spirit of truth will be with them. Also, that they were masters, men. They were the masters. They were master men. We also see that Jesus also trained the 12 apostles. We see that Jesus chose them. And as Jesus chose them in Luke chapter 6, we see that it says, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into the mount to pray, and continued all the night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto them his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named the apostles." They were ambassadors for Christ. In Matthew chapter 16, we see that it says, "And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever shall be loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That's a powerful statement. That statement is so powerful where we see in Colossians, we see that Paul says this. Colossians chapter 5. And now, when we are ambassadors of Christ, as though Christ would be beseeched by us, that we pray you in Christ's stead, and be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who know no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. But we also know that Paul was chosen, as he said, out of due season. But we see that he's saying that we are ambassadors of Christ, not ambassadors of ourselves. And the Spirit of truth, John 16:13 says, here be it when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, then he will guide you, speaking of the apostles, speaking of the 12, he will guide you to all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whosoever that he shall hear, that shall be spoke, then he will show you the things to come. Who? The Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit that guides the apostles. And I often wonder about this, because I think that when men of that position, as you see what body is, men of that position have control over a group of people, which is sad. In John 14, it says, in 25, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, this is Jesus, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father shall send in my name, then he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever that I have to say unto you. And as we see, as later on, we see that Jesus has the 12 on the day when they have the Lord's Supper. And what does he do with the 12? He sits down with the 12 and he shows us the breaking of the bread and what it means that we need to do this continually in remembrance. To be honest with you, I had a conversation with Body, and the strange thing about that is they don't have the communion on the Lord's Day. They have communion maybe twice a year, or maybe once a year, maybe on Easter Sunday. Who is he following? The Master's men. We see that Jesus chooses 12. And also Jesus put them through training, which I can understand, but even though he put them through training, we have it written in his book on what was even done. In the book of Acts, verse 4, it says, and this is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Well, I can see that the apostle that we saw earlier is not preaching this. I see that he is not understanding that Christ is the builder of his own church. And I also see that he is one who is rejecting, just like the Jews did. The Jews rejected Christ. And as they rejected Christ, we see that they're thinking it's another Savior. But Jesus is the Savior. And there's no other name that we can be saved but through Christ. And Jesus trained them. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. So they didn't have to go through education that we see that men go through. And the strange thing is I know personally that a lot of men and women go to the colleges, and they, when they come out, they become apostles, they become bishops, even women, and they become prophets, and they become prophetess. But Jesus trained them according to his word. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. Jesus is the head of the church. And as Jesus is the head of the church, there's only one way that we can get into heaven. And that's through the blood of Jesus. And that's through the forgiveness of sins. And where do we get it? We get it in the water according to the pattern. Simon Peter, the one who confessed and denied Jesus. After all that they had been through, we see that this is one of the prophecies that came through. And we see that Simon Peter does something wonderful in the very in Matthew chapter 16. And in Matthew chapter 16, we see that the word church is first mentioned throughout God's word. And so Jesus is asking the 12, as he's teaching them, "Who do men say that I am?" And then Peter says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, "Well, Simon Bar-Jonah, you know, my Father has given this to you." And then he says, and he said unto Peter, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto thee, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I also said unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever shall be loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And we see that Peter had the keys, and we see that Peter continued to preach that same pattern on the day of Pentecost, twice, and we see that he continued to teach, because he had the keys. Well, what keys? The need to hear. We need to believe. We need to repent. We need to confess. But not only do we need to confess, but we need to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. But it doesn't stop there. As Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he just didn't continue. He just didn't stop there where he said that I have received, and not only received, but I have taught it, unless I believe in vain. He continued on. It'd probably be good for me to go back there, for you to go back there, because it's a continual thing. It's just not I obey the word of God, and then that's it. Andrew. We see that Andrew was chosen in John. In John chapter 1, verse 40, 41. And I'm going to just move right along. And we see that James was actually the first apostle that gave his life, as we read in history. James is one of those apostles that was chosen of the 12. I haven't used this program. John. John was the one who Jesus loved. And we see in Galatians, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live in the flesh through the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Nathaniel, Bartholomew. We see in 1 John 26, that how, you know, when he was chosen and what he did there. Also, Matthew, he was a tax collector, and also Thomas, and I think Thomas was more of, "Hey, I want to make sure that Jesus is who he is," You know, you say that you saw him, and I want to make sure that I can physically know that Jesus is the Christ. So we see, except I come and put my hand in the side, then I'll know that. And we know that when he did, out came blood and water. James the Lesser. I just picked this up earlier today. Some 8 days after those sayings, and he took along Peter and John and James, and this is at the transfiguration, the time of transfiguration, and he went up to the mount and he prayed. And then we see Judas. This is not Judas the Iscariot, but this Judas is one of the brothers of James, and on Spanish you say Jose, right? Joseph and Judas and Simon, they were all brothers. And then Simon the Zealous, not Simon Peter. And then we see Judas, the one who betrayed Jesus. And this is one of the extraordinary areas, you know, that I find that is really misunderstood. I've heard a lot of these groups say that Judas wasn't there at the time when Jesus broke the bread with the 12. But how could he not be there when the question was asked, Lord, is it I who's going to betray you? And then Jesus says, it's the one who supped the cup with me. So yes, Judas was there at that time. And then we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where verse 23, where it says that Jesus was betrayed that day. And upon that day, then he broke the bread. And then we see that it says that we need to pray. And as we need to pray, we need to examine ourselves before we partake of that. So here it says, so when he had gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. And if God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in him and glorify him immediately. Little children, I would be with you a little while longer, and you will seek me. And as I say to the Jews, where I go, you cannot go. So now I say unto you, a new commandment I will give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and that you also love one another. But this all will know that you are my disciples, if you love me and you love one another. Now, I can't remember if this time is the time that Judas was with them, but I do remember when Jesus said this, that this is a promise that he has said, and I don't think that the apostles fully understood that Jesus was going to die and that he was going to ascend and sit on the right hand of God. But when Judas realized that he had done wrong, he went and killed himself. And as he killed himself, we see that Matthias is one who was chosen to be replaced. And in Acts chapter 2, we see that, and I believe that this is probably a good area for people to know that in order for you to be chosen as an apostle, you have to be chosen by Jesus. And it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 21 through 2, it says, therefore, of these men who accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and went out amongst you, beginning from the baptism of John to the day when he was taken up from us, one of those might become a witness for us for the resurrection, and they proposed two, which is, we see Joseph, which is Barabbas, who was surnamed Justice, and Matthias. But I don't think that body was there at the time accompanying the Lord Jesus upon this earth. Neither do I think that he was there when John the Baptist, on the day that John the Baptist was upon the earth either. Neither do I believe that he was there during the time when the 12, because Matthias was chosen, had looked up in the sky and gazed, and then Jesus ascended and sat on the right hand of God. I don't believe the apostles that they say that are apostles today were even there at that time. But we see in Galatians, it says, if anyone preaches another gospel, let them be accursed. Let them be accursed. So we see that on the day of Pentecost, that Matthias, as Matthias was chosen, a few days after that, we see that the church was ushered into the earth, and we see that in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And then comes Saul. Saul was an apostle born out of due time. And it says out of due season. Paul was chosen to be one of the greatest people in that time, because he was taught by Gamaliel, who was one of the greatest educators at that time. And we see where Paul makes this statement. He says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, they have itching ears, and will heap up themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful of all things, endure afflictions, and do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. And I think those are pretty sound words from Paul. And I think that those sound words exist even right now today, because I believe this is one of the scriptures that that Randy likes, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 says, not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name, and by thy name cast out demons, and by thy name do many mighty works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. And I believe that's true. And I believe when Jesus made that statement, that it wasn't something that we should toy with. In Revelations again, Revelation chapter 2. And after I finish this, the lesson will be yours. In the book of Revelation, chapter 2, where God is speaking to Ephesus, to those in Ephesus, I believe that's where where it talks about the apostles. Beginning at verse 1. To the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things which are said that hold the seven golden candlesticks in the right hand, he that walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, I know thy works, and that thy patience, and that thou canst not bear evil men, and doeth try them that call themselves apostles, and they are not, and doeth find them false. There it is. One of the reasons, and I have to admit this, body is a cousin of mine. Will he listen to the word of God? Well, when you look here, he's a false prophet. The word apostle means sent, to be sent. And it was also a letter, and a letter that would be mailed, sealed, and sent. And also, it can be a boat, a matter of transportation, to be sent. Well, the apostles were sent. The apostles were ambassadors. Ambassadors of who? Ambassadors of Christ. And many times I've heard people say, hey, why don't you set up your own church since you know about the word of God so much? No. It's not my church. It belongs to Christ. Because Christ says, upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Single. And with that, the lesson's yours. As I look out into the congregation, we have a few visitors here, and it would be distasteful to me if I wouldn't give you the invitation. As we look through the book of Acts, chapter 2, and to me, this explains everything that we need to know according to how that we need to obey God's word. In Acts chapter 2, I'll start reading in verse 36. Let the whole house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God had made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom ye crucified. Now when they heard this, speaking of the Jews, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of sins. And that word remission is forgiveness. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For to you the promise, and for unto you is the promise, and to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as our Lord thy God shall call unto him. And with many other words, because it just doesn't stop there. And he says, and with many other words, they then they gladly received his word, were baptized in verse 41. And there were added unto them that day about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and the breaking of the bread. And verse 47, as we see in 47, it says, and praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to them day by day those that were saved. And the King James says that they were added to the church. Only one, not many. So if anyone who has obeyed the gospel, if you feel that maybe you've fallen short, maybe of some things, then the brethren here are here to pray so that we may be able to continue our walk in Christ. That's the lesson.